Manx Radio's Update with Andy Wint.
First of my good evening, it's 5:30. This is Update for Wednesday, 23rd of November 2022 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news on the Isle of Man, a background to that news and sport and business, Sea Watch, Traveller, the newsmakers in person. Tonight, schools say stay at home because of the strike. GP appointments must be available, says an MHK. Laxey flour can't be exported to the UK. Watch out for rogue traders, says the OFT, and a KWC opera star in the making.
Man Benham, for all your business and legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes ahead of 6 o'clock, the update news headlines. Fastamai, Siobhan Fletcher.
Fastamai. A number of Manx schools have confirmed their arrangements for 2 days of strike action planned to take place next week. Members of the NASUWT Teaching Union are striking on Wednesday and Thursday. Full details of the strikes can be found at manxradio.com. The island's Met Office is warning there could be significant debris on coast roads for the next two high tides. An amber weather warning will come into force at 9 p.m. today, remaining in place until 1 p.m. tomorrow. As a result, the Steam Packet Company is warning there could be disruption to tomorrow's sailings. The operator says the 8:45 a.m. crossing to Heysham and the return service at 2:15 p.m. are both subject to disruption or cancellation. A final decision will be made at 7 a.m. tomorrow. And tonight sees the official unveiling of a feature film capturing the events of this year's TT races. Tourist Trophy will premiere at the Villa Gaiety at 7:30 p.m. Further afield, Nicola Sturgeon says she'll make the next general election a de facto Scottish independence referendum after the Supreme Court ruled that another one cannot be held without Westminster backing. Police in the US state of Virginia have now confirmed the gunman who killed 6 people at a Walmart was a supermarket employee. Suspect, who's not been named, is also dead. More are injured. And Germany's players have held their hands up to their mouths at the World Cup, mimicking that they're being gagged by FIFA. The Football Association says banning a rainbow anti-discrimination armband is denying us a voice. There are your headlines, news at 6.
Man Benham. Contact us by phone, video call, email or face-to-face. We're happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Jeremiah, thank you, Siobhan, from the Ronalds Way Met Office. There is a gale warning in operation for the North Irish Sea. State of sea is moderate or rough. And you heard Siobhan talk about the amber weather warning for coastal overtopping from 9 o'clock tonight to 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Watch out. Tonight, strong southwest winds around Shore Road, Russian, Castletown Prom, the north end of Douglas Prom, and to a lesser extent, West Quay Road by Fenella Beach in Peel, Laxey Prom and Ramsey Prom. So the weather after dark, more showers, which will become more isolated, mostly dry overnight, strong southwest wind backing southerly, minimum 7 Celsius. For Thursday, Jourdain, a dry start, then rain from late morning on a fresh to strong southerly wind, increasing to gale force, turning southwesterly, easing as the rain clears. Afternoon up to 11 degrees and down to 9 through the night. Friday, Jahenya is dry with sunny spells, a fresh west-southwesterly, daylight maximum 11. High water tonight 5 to 11. Low water 18 minutes past 5 tomorrow morning. Sunrise at 2 minutes past 8, and tomorrow morning's high water at 9 minutes past 11.
Manx Glass and Glazing can produce bespoke splashbacks for your kitchen in any colours. Speak to the team on 674 573.
As some teachers on the Isle of Man get set to undertake strike action next week, a number of island schools are asking students to stay at home. Members of the NASUWT Teaching Union are striking on Wednesday and Thursday next week, November 30th and the 1st of December. The story from Siobhan Fletcher.
It's the first 2 of 6 days of planned strike action from the end of November until February. Industrial action was declared on the 3rd of November after the teaching union refused to accept a new pay deal from the Department of Education. That included an 11.9% pay rise for new starters and an 8% increase for school leaders. But the NASUWT is seeking 30% pay reparations, staggered over the years ahead, after what it describes as 12 years of pay erosion. 3 out of 5 unions have voted in favour of government's pay deal. The National Association of Head Teachers, the National Education Union, and the University and College Union. The fourth, the Association of School and College Leaders, has told Manx Radio it's unable to comment yet on whether its members have accepted the offer. The Department of Education, Sport and Culture said it's been planning on a worst-case scenario basis, given that it wasn't sure how many teachers would be striking next week. Well, today we know at least some of the extent of the disruption, with letters sent home to parents and guardians from a number of head teachers. St Ninian's High School is asking years 7, 8, 9 and 10 to stay home on both days and access learning via Google Classrooms. Year 11 are also asked to stay home but still attend the taster session at UCM on Thursday morning. Sixth form pupils are asked to come to class as usual. The same rules also apply to students at Ramsey Grammar School, Ballycommeen High School in Douglas and QE2 in Peel. Meanwhile, the head teacher of Castle Rushen High School has written to parents, saying that not knowing the scale of the industrial action is making it difficult to contingency plan. Keith Winstonley says that planning is being conducted on a worst-case scenario basis, and a more detailed plan will be shared with parents and carers later this week.
The Department of Health and Social Care is being urged to ensure people can access timely GP appointments and that calls to their surgery are answered. It's been claimed a disabled person on the Isle of Man had to get on their scooter to reach their doctors after there was no response from the surgery telephone. In Keys this week, Douglas North MHK David Ashford and Health Minister Laurie Hooper discussed what needs to change.
I think what we all want is a GP, a GP service that people can contact when they feel they need to. I know that all MHKs, including myself, want to work with the department to ensure that we have that service.
Of course, these GPs are individual businesses. They're not part of Manx Care. Most people assume they are.
Yeah, I think that's something I've certainly found when I was Minister for Health and Social Care. People didn't get the distinction that GP practices are actually individual businesses. But that was why I asked the question about the GP's contracts, because the way to get uniformity across the GPs is via the contract, so people know what they can expect when they contact their GP surgery.
Minister, how much contact is there between social care, DHSC and the GPs?
So the GPs are part of what's now called the Primary Care Network, and they have a seat on the Manx Care Board, so regular contact. I would pick up Mr Ashford on his comments, actually. I don't think we want a GP service, we want a primary care service. And I think that's the key to distinction here, is you don't always need to see a GP. Sometimes you can see the nurse, you can see a paramedic, you can go to the pharmacy, if you go to the MIU or A&E, there's lots of options. And because we know we have an ageing population on the Isle of Man, there is a growing pressure on our care services, including primary care. And so the best thing people can do themselves, actually, is to help themselves by saying, well, where's the right place for me to go for the healthcare I need, rather than just defaulting to, I need to see my GP. Because what that ends up doing is putting pressure on the GPs, and then they can't see the people who actually really do need to see a GP, rather than a nurse or an advanced nurse practitioner or a pharmacist or a paramedic.
And of course, some people, if they feel better, don't go. The best thing they could do is to ring up their GP and say, I'm feeling better, I don't need the service.
Absolutely.
And but again, they don't do that.
A lot of people do, and I think Mr Ashford rightly raised the point that if you're struggling to get through anyway on the phone, you know, you're not going to make the extra effort to call up. So we as a department, I think, need to work with GPs to roll out some of the alternative methods of communication. So can you cancel appointments by email? Can you do it online on the app or on the patient access?
This is the most listened to Isle of Man news source. And Manx Radio's update is the Isle of Man's most downloaded news podcast.
Faster Mai, good evening. Thanks for tuning into Manx Radio this evening. Flour from Laxey Glen Mills is not currently being exported due to challenges which government is trying to overcome. Confirmed by the Environment, Food and Agriculture Minister Claire Barber, MHK. She says her department's looking at ways of supporting producers following the closure of Ramsey Bakery earlier this year.
I think it would be fair to say that there do remain some challenges around how we support the milling wheat growers, and that's something that we need to pick up and we need to work with, and we've taken that feedback. We had a meeting just the other day where that was fed back to us, but actually, as you say, looking at where we can grow the flour market, where we can support the bakeries that we do have on the island, to look to either grow or to diversify what they're producing, and look at other companies on the island that do use flour as a raw ingredient, and where they could maybe move to using the local flour, but also, you know, potentially exploring some of the options around export. And there are some complexities to that.
And so we're not using anywhere getting near as much flour on the island as we used to, obviously, with Ramsay Bakery. So are we? Is the mill exporting across?
No, so not at present. So there are some additional challenges because there's additives put in flour that's used in the UK. So folic acid is added, for example. We don't do that here. So there are some things that would have to be looked at. And I know that the board of the mill are looking at all options at the moment.
Is there enough space for next year's harvest?
So at the minute, there has been a guarantee to purchase at the pre-agreed prices, or people can choose to export. We know that some have chosen to export or to sell as your feed grain as an alternative. So it's not ideal, but until we know what the future, I suppose, looks like, till we've got a longer term strategy piece put together for the mill, Treasury can't commit as the mill to just keep buying forever if there's nothing in terms of the ability to turn that into an end product and then have a route to market.
A student from KWC has undergone a rigorous application process to attend a specialist performing arts school based in the UK. Jessie Quigley will begin studying alongside her academics at a famous opera house in Sussex. Christian Jones from Manx Radio caught up with Jessie to find out more.
It started from quite a young age. I joined my first singing group when I was 3 or 4. My gran's relatively musical as well, and she encouraged me to try everything. So I started trying it out when I was younger at primary school, and then it just kind of blossomed and I found the love for it. Play the cello, the piano and the organ.
The Academy is home to Glyndebourne Opera House, one of the finest and most celebrated opera houses in the world, delivering performances to some 150,000 people a year. Within the school, industry professionals deliver the teaching, ranging from repeteurs, language coaches, but also movement.
I found it really interesting. It's how we structure and how we stand ourselves as well to get the most out of our performances. I'm hoping to go to conservatoire or academic music and then looking to go into the career of performing or teaching. My mum was initially very surprised. She was a bit sceptical that I would enjoy it, as it's quite out of my comfort zone. But my mum and my gran and my whole family are very behind me and they're supporting me the whole way through.
KWC's director of music is Steve Dakin. He spoke to me about what doors this could open to Jessie in the future.
There is so much talent on this island, and it's great to see these opportunities are available to people who live on island as well. But it is, as you say, a real reflection of the talent and ability that is within our schools. It really is phenomenal. Jessie really does push those boundaries, having skills in so many different disciplines. And I know she'll learn a tremendous amount from it as well. And that's part of being a musician. You never stop learning about your craft. It's massive. You know, it shows any future conservatoire that she, you know, she's wholly committed to what she wants to do.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
The motor ship Ben McCree departed Heysham at 19 minutes past 2. She'll be alongside in Douglas Harbour in the next 5 minutes or so, leaving this evening at 7:45, into Heysham at 11:30, and the overnight departure 2:15, back to Douglas at 6 tomorrow morning. Now, because of the weather, due to the forecast adverse weather, the sailing tomorrow morning, the 8:45 to Heysham Ben McCree, subject to possible disruption or cancellation, had to give the sailing every opportunity to take place. A final decision will be made by the master at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. So tune in to Manx Radio and find out what's happening. If she goes tomorrow morning, that's fine. But of course, if the 8:45 doesn't go, there'll be no 2:15 return arriving tomorrow evening at about 6.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
The Love IOM gift card has been reintroduced as part of government efforts to help the economy over winter. The scheme's been criticised in the past, so how do businesses feel about it now? Chair of the LVA, the Licensed Victuallers Association, is Andy Saunders.
It's still a bit mixed in the hospitality trade. People find it difficult to take. It's not perfect in any way, and while some members do accept it, others just don't think it's worth their while to take. So it's a very split bag in hospitality over the Love Island Man card. However, any incentives at all to encourage spend in the early part of the new year, we do thank government for.
There are some businesses that are still concerned about it. What are the sort of things specifically that may have been brought up?
Well, first of all, for restaurants and so on, instead of people buying a specific voucher for a restaurant or so on. They're being kind of pushed into buying a voucher through this system. We haven't seen an awful lot of take up from the public. Public haven't been using it a lot. Seems to have gone through corporate distribution. I think most people just find it a little bit clunky. The app isn't great and so on, and the payment fees or the payment return isn't ideal, being once a week and so on. But there's just a few negatives that some people have around it. Other people do find it quite useful, including myself.
You mentioned that there are some who, you know, support the idea broadly. What are the sort of things that they think it can do to benefit businesses and customers?
Well, obviously, anything that gets people out of their houses midweek during January, February, March is going to be a huge benefit. Now, that is one thing that we've been onto the government about already since they've announced that. We would hugely encourage them to get this incentive started at the start of January rather than waiting to start it at basically the end of January, start of February. January and February are traditionally the worst months of the year, so it would seem counterintuitive to not have the Why Not Weekdays promotion active during January.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
At 14 minutes before 6, Halfords, the UK motoring and bicycle business, has warned that full-year profits will be at the lower end of forecasts amid higher costs and consumers spending less on non-essential items. Halfords said it's rapidly expanding its car servicing operations, Auto Centre, and said this arm was performing strongly, but the retail outlets have been hit by the cost of living squeeze. Pre-tax profit in the 6 months to September 30th was £29 million, down from 57.9 million a year ago. And to read a full Daily Market report, go to ramseycrookhall.com. In an effort to levy further sanctions on Russia, the USA and allies plan to agree on a price cap on the country's oil. The group, which includes the EU, the Group of Seven Nations and Australia, is looking to set the cap at around $60 a barrel, crimping Russia's energy export revenue while avoiding a surge in oil prices. The Wall Street Journal reports the sanctions are due to begin on the 5th of December. Meantime, OPEC Plus is considering increasing oil output by 500,000 barrels a day, partially reversing last month's decision to cut daily production by 2 million barrels. However, Saudi Arabia's energy minister denied this, saying further cuts could happen instead. And Bloomberg reports that Russian oil shipments to northern Europe have tumbled over 90% to under 100,000 barrels a day from 1.2 million barrels daily in February.
The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European markets closed higher as investors digested Eurozone economic data. US stocks were higher, with the Nasdaq gaining more than 1%. Oil fell as the G7 nations looked at a price cap on the Russian oil, and gold priced higher. The numbers now from Ramsey Crookall. The FTSE 100 was down at the close almost 0.2% at 7,465. The DAX in Frankfurt closed marginally up 0.4% up at 14,427. Currently in New York City, the Dow Jones Industrials down 0.2% at 34,038. The Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index up 0.3% at 11,208. And the S&P 500 in Chicago up 0.6% at 4,006. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling trading at $1.204, €1.16.1. And in commodities, gold is up 0.25% at $1,742 per troy ounce. And at the moment, Brent crude's down 5% at $84.25.
You've got an investment plan?
Yeah, Mike set it up.
But don't you need loads of money to do that?
Not this one. It's called Shearwater from Ramsey Crookall, and you pay in monthly as little as £100. So it's like saving regularly, really helping us invest in the future. For a house, well, the kids' education.
£100 a month? I could easily do that.
You should. The sooner you start, the better.
Invest in your future with as little as £100 a month. Shearwater from Ramsey Crookall, the island's investment specialist for 75 years. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
The Isle of Man in 30 minutes. Update on Manx Radio with Andy Wint.
Now, residents of the Isle of Man, that's you, who encounter rogue traders, are being urged to contact the police before talking and taking to social media. The OFT, the Office for Fair Trading, has issued a warning not to trust cold callers at all. Don't trust anything they say. Head of the OFT is John Peat.
Generally, it's the more vulnerable members of society, and I'm not being patronising when I say that. It is generally the elderly or people live on their own. It's a despicable crime, and these people do pick the victims. They may well follow them home from the shop. They may park outside a property to see whether they get any visitors or they have any young relatives who could fight back. Absolutely despicable crime, and they do target the more vulnerable members of society.
So what could happen if someone were to engage with a rogue trader?
If you don't tell them to go away straight away, they will be very persuasive, very persistent, and occasionally aggressive. They will use scare tactics to try and secure jobs where the work doesn't necessarily need doing. Say you've got a few loose tiles on the roof, we can do it now, you know, here and now. How much is it going to be? Well, it's going to be £100. Well, that's fair enough. You know, I mean, you shouldn't agree to that anyway. But then they get on the roof and they say you need a new roof and it's £10,000. And by the way, we'll take it to the bank and we need cash. So, and on and on and on. So it is a scam. It's outrageous. It really is. And it makes my blood boil.
You mentioned there that some may become aggressive. What should people do if they're faced with that kind of situation?
They should close the door and phone the police straight away. Or trading standards. I say in that order because if somebody has become aggressive, it should be the police first. There's been a lot of things on social media saying, beware a white van going around such and such an estate. But the first port of call should be the police and trading standards, and then possibly social media. We try and monitor social media, but we can't monitor everything.
And what are the OFT's top tips for avoiding falling foul to this type of crime?
Do not deal with traders who call your house without an appointment. Don't be pressurised into having any unnecessary work done. Don't fall for patter, such as we've got some tiles left over from a big job. Don't part with a significant amount of cash up front. And if a trader is pestering you for work, call trading standards or the police.
Manx Radio Sport.
Fast am I, Rob Pritchard.
Fast am I. Good evening. Tonight sees the official unveiling of a feature film capturing the events of this year's TT races.
Living.
I'm terrified I can't wait until it's over, but I also don't want to wish it away.
Tourist Trophy will premiere at the Villa Marina at 7:30 this evening. Directed by accomplished documentary maker Adam Kalita, the film focuses on some of the key protagonists from this year's racing fortnight. It follows the likes of John McGuinness, who made his 100th TT start this year, the fastest man ever around the Snaefell Mountain course, Peter Hickman, as well as sidecar TT kings Ben and Tom Burchell. Tourist Trophy will also be available to watch exclusively on TT Plus from later tonight. Turning to football, and Braddon will be hoping to continue their perfect start to the Jackson's Isle of Man Under-18s League this evening. They face Corinthians under the floodlights at the Bowl later. Braddon sit on 9 points with 3 wins from their 3 games so far. A win tonight would take them to the top of the table and 2 points clear of the current joint league leaders, Onchan and Union Mills. Meanwhile, Corinthians will be in good spirits after securing their first win of the campaign last time out with a 7-1 victory over Laxey B. Victory for Corinthians later could see them leapfrog Colby into 6th. Elsewhere, the other game, which is due to take place in the division tonight between Onchan and Laxey B, has been awarded as a walkover to Onchan. And finally, entries for one of the island's biggest mass participation events are set to open next week. The organisers of the 2023 Parish Walk have confirmed people will be able to book themselves in to take part from Thursday the 1st of December. Next year's walk is scheduled to take place on Saturday the 24th of June. The occasion sees thousands take on all or part of an 85-mile course across the Isle of Man.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Next inbound at Ronald's Way is the 7:30 EasyJet from Gatwick showing on time, the 5-8 returning patient transfer Loganair from Liverpool on time, and the 8:05 inbound London City Loganair showing on time. Departing, 6:00 Loganair to Liverpool, the patient transfer plane on time, and the 8:00 returning EasyJet to Gatwick showing on time. Newcastle Town Road is one way, heading into Douglas between the NSC and Quarterbridge for telecom work. Watch out for the diversions. Temporary lights on Quarterbridge Road for gas main repairs, narrow lanes and a temporary crossing on Victoria Street currently. Ballacalawi Road closed for resurfacing north of Port Arum. Got temporary lights on the A1 Ballyhutchin Hill 24 hours a day for pipe replacement in Union Mills. Between Ramsey and Sulby, temporary lights on the TT course on a rolling basis for patching work, and temporary lights south of Ramsey on the coast road between Ballure and Hibernia for manhole cover repairs. In Laxey, bottom end of Lurgy Graw's closed for wall maintenance, and temporary lights on Old Laxey Hills junction with Lurgy Graw. Temporary lights on the A5 in Castletown near KWC for pavement work, and of course Castle Street's one way northbound in Castletown. Temporary lights in Peel. They're temporary closures in Peel around East Quay and the Promenade. through until April next year. We'll get used to it. Currently, it's closed between the Max Utilities Pumping Station and Weatherglass Corner. And in Regaby, a series of temporary closures on Regaby West Road for water main replacement.
The island's new solely dedicated electric and hybrid vehicle service centre. Get more with...
Thinking slightly wiser during the current financial climate, how independent traders are looking to survive tough times. The belief of Lee Watson, co-owner of Extreme Arts and Gadgets in Duke Street in Douglas, who explains how important the festive period is for the store.
I wouldn't say it's the be-all and end-all of the year, but it certainly is very important to us. You know, Christmas for us, we start ramping up after the Classic TT. That's when we start investing the money into stock to make sure you've got stock to sell at Christmas. Because with today's markets and manufacturing isn't what it was in China, we've got to throw the money in, secure the stock early, sit back and hope it sells.
We've seen, of course, the global cost of living crisis going on. The Isle of Man hasn't been immune to it. What effect, if any, has that had on your preparations for this time of year?
Well, normally, you know, we have a certain price point. So I've dropped that. You know, a lot of our photographs, football photographs, around the £200 mark, you know, for the frame pieces. What I tend to do now is I try and get loose photographs or smaller photographs. So people aren't able to afford certain items, but they can others. The same, we look at little point of sale items that we have sitting on the counter rather than the heavier priced items on the shelves. So yeah, we try and cater for every wallet there is or every purse there is.
How difficult is it as an independent company in this day and age, particularly given the current financial climate as well?
What I find difficult to deal with is when you see, you know, obviously social media is a huge thing in promoting, etc. Lots of people can order their stock sitting in the comfort of their own home. We don't expect people to come into our shop, but it would be nice to have the opportunity to price match the items online, etc. Independent retailers, when you look at some of the shops that have passed on, they were really old established businesses. I'm not sure if they're willing to move with the times, you know, the online presence, or to dip the toe in a different product market. Whereas we've never been scared. We thought, what's the worst can happen? There's no sell-by dates on the products. They'll go at some point. It's just boxing clever, not spending too much up front.
That's it for Update Tonight, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Siobhan Fletcher, producer Rhiann Evans. Stick around after the news at 6, performing arts programme Spotlight with Howie Kane.
WINT.